Amen. And so it fits. And I want to turn your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Praise God. Matthew, chapter number 24. We're going to begin reading at verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye not be troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all of these things are the beginning of sorrows. And I want to direct your attention to verse number 6, and where it says, these things must come to pass. These things must come to pass. Mark said simply, very, very similar in the same thing, but in Mark 13 and 7, he said, wars, rumors of wars, be not troubled, for these things must needs be. These things must needs be. Praise God. And I don't have a fancy title for you tonight. I'm just simply going to preach about the last days. The last days. And I heard one preacher that I know, he said, he felt like he was going to preach a message about the rapture, and so he stood up and he took his text. I believe it was out of Thessalonians 4, and when he announced his title, he said, I'm going to preach tonight faster than the rapture. And he had everybody pray, and when everybody was done praying, he was sitting down, and they just kind of looked at him. And he simply made a statement. He said, you understand that if the rapture had taken place before I ever got to preach, you'd never even have an altar call. Some of you need to think about that. And he sat back down. Praise God. I think it's time to get right. It's time to get right with God. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I am amused by people who say that they've got it all figured out, that they know exactly everything that's going to happen, how it's all going to come about, that when the rapture is going to take place, at what frame and what point of time it's going to take place. Let me just start off and say, number one, you're deceived. The Bible plainly says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh. And just when we think that we've got it figured out, just when we think that we've kind of got a handle on it, read something else in the Bible and you're like, okay, where does that fit? Well, according to my theology, it doesn't. And so you got to go back and you got to change theology and you got to figure out this and plug in that and all the other stuff, and you come to it. And then you think you got it figured out, and something else comes into play. It's about the time you think you got it all figured out, all of a sudden the two witnesses come into play. And all this other stuff comes into play. And then you think to yourself and say, no, the Bible says, Matthew chapter number 24, that all of these things must come to pass, and that there will be persecution and all that other stuff, and we haven't seen persecution. The United States hasn't seen persecution. Persecution's been going on overseas for a long time. They've been being beheaded over there for the name of Christ for a long time. So the fact that we try to plug prophecy into the United States, it just doesn't work. As a matter of fact, if I read my Bible clearly, the United States doesn't even play a factor in it. The United States isn't even in it. and for whatever it's worth. I'm not here to tell you that I know and that I've got it all figured out, because I don't. I could tell you that if you want to argue pre-trib, I can argue post. And if you want to argue post, I can order pre. I can argue pre. Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of pan-trib. I believe it'll all pan out. But I promise you one thing, I'm going to be ready. My vote is for pre. And if it happens, I'm going to be gone soon and very soon. And if it doesn't happen on pre-trib, my vote is for mid-trib. And if it doesn't happen mid-trib, I'm still going to be ready come post-trib. I'm going to be ready. Praise God. One of the greatest, God help me to use that word very, very carefully, end time prophecy preachers that was amongst us in our time had to go back and correct false prophecy time after time after time after time after time. Because he had it so figured out. And it was like God said, you don't have it figured out. So I let God take care of that. I let God figure all of that out. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, all of you that say you're just going to let it pan out, he said, that's justification and excuse for not studying. Okay. Justification for excuse not studying. Praise God. And the Bible says and states to us plainly that we don't know. And it gives us some signs of the times, and it says, when you see these things, then lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. But it didn't say your redemption's coming tomorrow. And what is a day unto the Lord? 1,000 years? I'm just going to be ready. But there are some things that I do know when it comes to the end time. And the Bible says, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Anybody remember David Koresh? When was that? That was a long time ago. All right, but we've already had them. We've had them right here. Anybody remember drinking the Kool-Aid? Yeah, we've already had them. There's been many that have come professing to be Christ. And the Bible said that they shall deceive many. And then it goes on to say that you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you not be troubled. And we have heard of wars and rumors of wars for a long period of time. A long period of time. It doesn't matter who's the president. If Trump's the president, then it's Vietnam guy over there threatening to push his button. And if Bush is president, then it was Hussein. And if Obama was president, then it was terrorist. It was Al-Qaeda. And the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. There's been wars and rumors of wars for an extended period of time. But it's still, that does not negate truth. Truth is here. Truth is this. And when we begin to look at it, we see more prophecies being fulfilled. And we know that it is soon and very soon. Praise God. So nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And I think that here of late we have seen and felt the pressure of all of that. And the one that has stuck out to us more than anything is the pestilence. The pestilence. The pestilence that came into this world, and within a very short period of time, number one, it shut down the world, the entire world. It shut it down. And you know what that tells me? That tells me a few things. But it mainly tells me that when God gets ready to set this thing in motion for a one world government, somebody said, well, we'll never accept that. Ha! We accepted COVID and everything else like that. We shut down. Everybody went to putting on masks. Everybody stayed home. They got fired. They got laid off. We took some stimulus checks and all that. We did whatever we were told to do. And when it comes all back around and stuff, it may have been, this may have been a precursor of how that the world is going to respond. I don't know. I'm not into conspiracy theories and stuff. You get into conspiracy theory, you're just going to get yourself messed up. Amen. I just rather just deal in facts. And so anyways, all of this just kind of shows us that it can happen. It can happen. And that these pestilences and such are going to happen. Earthquakes are going to happen. Earthquakes in diverse places, they are going to happen. And these are the things that we cannot change. There is not one thing that you can do about it to change it. All right? I'm going somewhere tonight. Praise God. But I've already finished my notes. All right? But there is not one thing that you can do to change. I don't care what science concocts to try to do away with quote-unquote global warming, and we have the coldest winter that in decades this past year. Thank God for global warming. We had all froze to death. But I don't care what they do, you're not going to stop earthquakes in diverse places. And the more that they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction is going to come. There's not anything that you can do to prevent that. There will be people that will stand up and say, lo, I am Christ, and there is nothing that you can do to prevent it. There are going to be prophets that are going to rise up, and they will be false prophets, and they're going to say thus and thus, and there's not anything that you can do to prevent that. He said, these things must come to pass. So now, I'm not stepping out on water tonight. I'm not going to walk on water, but I'm going to get down to the bare basics and to reality, because this is where we are. This is where we live, and I want to help you here tonight. I want to help you here, all right? All right, so listen to me. There are things that you can do nothing about. And when the mark of the beast comes upon the face of the earth, if the church is not here, if we're still here, there is nothing that you can do to prevent it. We can get scared. We can get fearful. We can wring our hands. We can jump up and down and point and say, this is it, this is it, this is it. It's not it. This is it, this is it. No, it's not. This is it, this is it. There's nothing that we can do to stop it. It's going to happen. And if the church is on the face of this earth, that is going to affect you and me. All right? But let me just go a little bit further. All of this stuff, that the vaccine is the mark of the beast, is pure baloney. All right? It's not. It's not the mark of the beast. I have read from numerous websites. I've talked to different people and stuff. I've read, let me just put it to you like this. Will the liberals go on the internet and read Fox News? No. They're going to go read NBC or CNN or I don't even know, because I don't even go to their places. I have no idea. But they're going to go read what pertains to them. And then the conservatives, like me, that has no idea where the liberal's going to read his propaganda, I'm not going to read that. I'm going to read what suits me, my lifestyle. And then you've got the conspiracy theorist who could care less what the liberals say and what the conservatives say, and they're going to go read whatever they read
And all three of us are going to come to different conclusions. All three of us are going to have staggering statistics. All three of us are going to have experts putting it on the line. So now who do you believe? I can go get doctors that will stand and produce statistics on the liberal side. I can get doctors and stuff that'll stand on conspiracy side that'll produce statistics and all of that on that side. I'm just simply saying, if you want to find it, you will find it. It's out there. I talked with a man one time and he looked at me and he said, the NKJV is of the devil. Oh, okay. Satanists were the ones that translated the NKJV. Oh, okay. And so he's like, I'm going to give you websites. And he gave me all these websites to prove to me that the NKJV was satanic. NKJV was the satanic Bible, basically under the guise of NKJV and stuff. You know, and I went and I read some of it, and it was whatever. I'm like, you know what? And so I went and I found another website, and I'm like, look, here it is, okay? So I just simply said, now look, brother, you can find whatever you want to find. You can find it out there. You could probably get on Google and say, prove to me that water is not liquid, and they'd do it. I'm just simply saying you can find whatever you want to find out there. It's out there. I just talked to a preacher this past week, and this is what he told me. He said, I walked into my doctor's office, and he said, I was kind of sick, and we needed to get get checked up and get some antibodies or something like that, whatever it was. He said, I walked into my doctor's office and I'm sitting there in the waiting room and I'm going through all of this stuff and sitting there waiting and everything else like that. And he said, the doctor calls us back. It was him and his family. He said, the doctor calls us back. She said, she had some staggering news. And he said, really? He said, what did you find out? She said, well, I just had a doctor call me from New Orleans and say that the vaccine has a chip in it. And don't take the vaccine, because when you take the vaccine, they inject you, and then you've got a chip in you. And then this chip can be programmed and this. And she said, and I took a look at my vaccines, and in looking that, I saw a chip in there. And he said, no, I'm not going to call her a liar and stuff. I said, I am. All right, I am. I mean, do you know what size of chip that would have to be in that vial to be able to see it? And then they're fixing to put that in your shoulder? I know it's not, I'm exaggerating, but I mean, here comes a needle like this because it's got a chip in it. We're going to inject it into you. But it's not going to be some little minute pinprick to get that chip into you. So then I asked a couple of different individuals and doctors and stuff like that. And then I asked my daughter-in-law, I said, are you familiar with the vaccine? She said, yes. I said, are you familiar with the vials? She said, yes, very, very familiar with them. I said, okay. Now let me ask you a question. Is that vial, is it a one and done, or is it numerous doses in there? She said, oh, no, it's numerous doses. I said, how many? She said, well, with the Moderna, it's 10 to 11 doses. So in other words, they take this vial. Are you listening? They take this vial, they stick a syringe in it. You've seen it before. They stick a syringe in it, and they pull it out until they get the proper amount of cc's in it, and then they pull it out of that little cork deal, whatever, and stuff like that, and then they go set it back in the cold area and stuff, and then they tap it and make sure all the air is out of it and stuff, and there's still a ton of stuff in there, and they do that like 10 or 11 times. Do you think that they get a chip in it every time? I mean, every 10 times that they stick that thing in there and pull it out? Oh, didn't get that chip. Whoa, we're out. Somebody must have got two chips. Because nobody can eat just one. Lays. Nevertheless. And so I got to reading, and Pfizer says that all of their doses comes that it's at least 5 to 6. 5 to 6 times they can stick that thing in there and pull it out. Do you think that they're going to give some little piece of metal in every little one? No. No, it's not going to happen. It's called scare tactic. And the Bible said that men's hearts shall fail them for fear. I've never seen fear come upon the face of the earth like we're seeing it in this day and time. And it's fear, fear, fear. And you've got those people that are so scared, they allow the government to tell them everything to do. And then you got the other people that are so feared and afraid of the government that you ain't going to tell me anything to do. So with that said, you say, well, Pastor, have you taken the vaccine? No. For what reason? I don't want to. It's plain and simple. I hate shots. Pretty simple. But at the same time, one of the reasons that I haven't, because I don't think there's enough proof out about it. You know, they're constantly changing. You know, well, oh, it's this, this, this. It's this. Well, I mean, it's this, this, and this. And it's this, this. Okay. Well, the vaccines have changed since the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they sure have. They sure have. Well, they use aborted fetuses.
Mm-hmm.
They did back in the 70s, too. And it's not that they're using aborted fetus material in there. It was a cell that came from aborted fetus that they was actually able to use to build a vaccine. It's not that it's got aborted fetus material in there. No. It was a study, and they got a cell from that that they used, and they duplicated the cell. And that same cell, I mean, I don't think that one aborted fetus is going to last that long. But it's the same cell. It's the same whatever that is, the writ on that the cell does. Anyway, it's the same thing. And they're using that to create vaccines. So some people say, well, I don't take it because it's aborted fetuses. When you got your smallpox vaccine, it had aborted fetus in it. When you got your tuberculosis vaccine, all of these vaccines that you had to have to go to school, I'm not taking this vaccine. You took all the other vaccines so that you could get in school. And then you went to sign up for college and they said, you got to have another vaccine. And what did you do? You marched right down to the doctor's office and you got your shot. And now somebody else is telling you got to have a vaccine. No. And if that's the way you want to be, that's fine. But I'm trying to bring balance to you. I'm trying to dispel fear. We're not going to wake up one day and all these preachers that have taken this vaccine all across the nation that have preached the gospel for years and years and years and years, and they're going to go, oh, I accidentally took the mark of the beast. No, that's not going to happen. When the mark of the beast comes, you will know it. You're going to know it. And it's going to be a choice. If you don't deny God, you don't get this chip, and you're not going to buy, sell, or trade. But you're going to deny. I'm not denying. And you don't get it. It's a choice. All right? So that's where it is. And the Bible said that these things must come to pass. So there ain't no sense, you know, getting all antsy about all of this. Hey, we live in the last days. It's going to happen. And let me tell you something else. God thought enough of us to put us in the last days. God looked at all of us and said, you can make it. I'm not downplaying all of those that have gone on before us and saying that they're pansies and that they could not have made it. They could have made it too. But God put them in their era for such a time as that. And God put us in our era for such a time as this. And we can make it. We can overcome. Amen. The salvation that we have, the glorious gospel that we have, amen, is going to be, hallelujah, amen. If God knows how to feed the birds of the field, and he knows how to take care of the lilies, amen, that are in the grass and all that, you think that God doesn't know how to take care of his people? Yeah, he's going to be able to take care of us. Come what may, amen, God's going to have a way to take care of us. And if I starve to death, I just starve to death. Amen, that's just what's going to, because these things must come to pass. And there's not a thing in the world that can stop it. Amen. There is nothing, amen, that can do it. Well, I think that the church probably has the power to pray to push it back a little bit further. Amen. But I know a lot of churches that are already praying have been praying. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. They've made that part of their service as they begin to pray. And when they final it all out, amen, they just all shout out, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. That ought to be the mantra of the church. That ought to be the battle cry of the church. God, I'm ready. I'm looking for your appearing, that glorious appearing. I'm ready to go. I plan on standing. I plan on making it no matter what comes. I plan on being saved. I plan on being right. And I plan on dancing on streets of gold. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But let me read to you something else. Amen. There was a man by the name of Paul who was a prophet that was moved upon by the Holy Ghost to write some things. And he wrote unto a pastor that was pastoring a church. And this was at a time when Paul was in a jail cell. Amen. And Paul had already wrote, amen, a little bit before that when he said that my time is at hand. Amen. My departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. Sitting there in that jail, ready to be offered for his life to be taken away from him. Amen. When he felt the persecution of Nero upon him. Amen. And the stripes and all of those other things and the persecution of Nero against the church. He begins to prophetically write unto a preacher, unto a young pastor. And he said, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. He did not liken the times that he was in to the perilous times. He said there is coming a time that is going to be perilous. Perilous unto the church. He said men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those, amen, that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said these things, amen, are going to be perilous. He was writing to Timothy, the pastor of a church, and when he said something, it come click to my mind. He said that in the perilous times, these things shall come to pass. Men shall be unholy. I want you to know that he was not talking about the world. The world has never been holy. The world is never going to be holy. So if men are going to become unholy, they had to be holy first. Where were they holy? In the church. That's where they were holy. Paul said they're going to become unholy. Paul wasn't writing about things that was going to happen on the outside. He was writing about things that were going to happen on the inside. And he said, pastor, you need to watch. You need to be ready for these things to come about. You need to be able to see when men become lovers of their own self and covetous and boasters, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, right there in the church. I'm telling you, we live in such a day and age. We live when pride reeks up throughout the church. We live in an era where people are in love with themselves. We live in an era, amen, where amen, without natural affection. Amen, that just simply means moms abandoning kids, not having that parental love. Amen, dads not having that parental love. Spouses not having that spousal love. Divorce rate is high in the church. Amen, amen. The walking away of children from children.
man is sadly said to be amongst us. And yes, there is the unholy. There is the covetous. There is the unthankful. There is the truce breakers. There are the false accusers. There are those that despise those that are good. There is the traitors, Heidi, high-minded, pleasures, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Those things are in the church, having a form of godliness. They all dress the part. They all play the part. They all come to the part. They all take part of the part. Amen. But they deny the power thereof. They don't allow the preaching to change them. They don't allow the worship to affect them. There is a problem in the church. Amen. What I've come to tell you tonight is there's some things we cannot change, but there are some things that we can change. I'm not telling you that the Bible is wrong. These things are going to come. Amen. In the last days, perilous times shall come. But it doesn't have to happen with us. It doesn't have to happen with me. Draw a circle and stand in it. Amen. And say, boy, you're not going to become unholy in the last days. Draw a circle and stand in it. And say, brother, you're not going to become unthankful in the last days. Look at yourself and say, hey, I'm not going to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. I'm going to let God work through me. I'm going to let God work with me. I'm going to let God use me. I plan on being powerful for the Lord in the last days.
Praise God. Let's stand here tonight. There's not a thing in the world. We don't have to have music. I'm sorry. There's not a thing in the world that we can do about wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes. There's not a thing in the world that we can do about pestilences, whether you wear a mask or whether you don't wear a mask. There's not a thing in the world that you're going to do about it. There's not a thing in the world that we can do about the mark of the beast besides don't accept it. But it's going to come. All of these things are going to come. And my vote is that we're getting out of here before all of that. Yeah. So I want to be ready. And you know what that means? That means some of you need to get ready. Woo! I'm telling you, I could preach for another 15 minutes tonight. Lord Jesus, help us have mercy. Amen. There are people here tonight under the sound of my voice that you're not ready for the rapture. You're not ready, amen, should Jesus come tonight. You're not ready. And the choices that you have made, amen, are going to condemn you, amen, for an eternity. Amen. When the trumpet sounds, there's not going to be a second chance after it's all said and gone. Amen. Some fictitious writer wrote, amen, about that you're going to have a second chance. Jesus did not right that you're going to have a second chance. Amen. God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. That he's going to give us a chance. Amen. And then give everybody else a second chance. When the rapture happens, friend, it's done. Praise God. Praise God. If you're playing around with God, you need to quit. You need to line up and get right. Amen. We got people here tonight, you're not paying your tithe. Amen. Do you think you're going to go to heaven not paying your tithe? Come on. Do you think that you're going to slip through the pearly gates not paying your tithe? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm trying to get your attention tonight. You're not as ready as you. You can speak in tongues like a Chinaman. You got to get right. You got to get right. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Some of you ladies, amen, need to make sure that you're not trying to trim and cut and cut you. Amen. Shorten your hair. You're not going to make it that way. Woo! Glory to God.
I feel like a boxer just getting warmed up. You're not going to make it hiding makeup. Well, I'll put it on like this and nobody will know that I'm wearing it. Amen. I preached about walls this morning. We don't wear makeup on our face, our fingernails, or our finger toes. How'd you like that one? Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're not going to resemble the Jezebel. Amen. Of the book of Revelations. Praise God. Jesus, what's next? Those are things I just felt. Hey, you know what, though? It's still truth. It's right. Don't be deceived. Hey. You may hide it from me 100%. And the only person that you've hurt is yourself. That's it. You haven't hurt me. I'm going to be hurt because you didn't make it. But you know what? Oh, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I had that dream the other night that the rapture took place. Brother Worth, it was electrifying. As I was standing right over there, it's like I could feel electricity. I've never been shocked. I've never been struck by lightning, but from the accounts that I have read, it's kind of what it felt like. They said these people that's been hit by lightning, they say it's like, I have some cousins that were hit by lightning through their kitchen window. And they said, it's like you can feel it. It's like your body just becomes impulsed by it. Zzz, pow! People have said, I could feel it in the ground. As walking, you can feel electricity there. And you just feel it. And then all of a sudden, pow! That's the way I felt. As I was standing there, I felt just that electrifying current come. And a smile came over my face because I knew what it was. And I said, this is the rapture. I'm going to be a part of the rapture. And then all of a sudden, gravity lost its hold. And I started rising up and I floated right through that column and I know I could have. I floated right through the doors. I could have went through the roof. I don't know why. But I floated right through those doors. I went through the other double doors, the glass doors, out beyond, and then. Now, you know what I was not thinking about? Anyone else. I was not thinking about anybody else. I wasn't sitting there feeling this electrifying current. It's like, I hope they get right. It's fixed to happen. It's fixed. No. All of my focus was on the rapture. That glorious feeling. So what I'm saying is I can say I'll be hurt that you didn't make it, but I'm not going to know. Because there's no tears, no sorrow, no anything over in that land. But on the other hand, you'll sit there for eternity and look up at all of the saints of New Life Tabernacle worshiping and praising God. Say, I could have been there. There's some things you can't change, and there's some things that you can change. Change those things. Change those things. Get right. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. There are people that are not with us today that have been with us in the past, but COVID got them. It didn't surprise God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. He just decided, it's time for you to come home. And they're in a much better place. We hurt, but they're in a much better place. Praise God. And that can happen to any one of us. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, or the rapture could just take place. And we're all gone in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. I'm happy. I'm happy. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If that upsets you, there's something wrong. Get right so you can rejoice with all of us. I'm excited. I'm looking for that day. I was talking to an elderly pastor friend last night. And they were going through it. And I told him, I said, look, I said, I'm going to take some time. I'm going to pray for you right now. He's like, okay. So I took some time. I began to pray for him. And God laid some scriptures upon my heart. And so I started texting him the scripture. And they said, amen, glory. And I pulled out an old message I preached years and years and years ago, and I texted them that verse of scripture, and I asked them a question and stuff. And you know what? For the next 20 minutes or so, we just started trading back and forth old songs about going to heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, I want to see him. I feel like traveling on. When we all get to heaven, oh, what singing. Oh, what shouting. I'll fly away. What's that I hear? Is it the sound of the trumpet? Hallelujah. We're going to be gone in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. Oh, let's love him today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you tonight.